7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
And Justin.
Woo!
Hey, 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 we are back, and Tim has made it. He is done taking care of the ice cream truck people.
Okay, I'll tell you guys a quick story here, all right? So what happened was, now, I listened to your episode yesterday, and you had it partially right. So there are a ton of ice cream trucks. There was two, right? And my daughter ran one way after one. My son ran another way for another. I grabbed both of them, and I said, no, have some restraint, show some class, and you know what? Let's let these ice cream trucks decide. I said, you guys, you race around the block. Winner gets my business. Well, these two sons of bitches peeled out. Boom! Crashed into the generator right by my house. It was awful. It was terrible. Four dead, three more wounded. RIP Mrs. Ferguson down the street.
And we are joined again with producer Justin. Producer Justin, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm just so happy that Tim is here.
Yeah, you stole my seat, you son of a bitch. I'm over here. I got a dinky-ass little mic.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. You're looking at the microphones. These are nice. They lift up a little bit, and yeah, you are with the
You didn't even have a chair
one.
For me. I had to go to Mrs. Ferguson's garage sale that they had after she passed and bought her old wheelchair. This is ridiculous.
Well, it's just not very nice.
Why is that not nice?
Is she the lady who knitted you the koozie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, again, this episode, we are going to be talking about the Atlanta Falcons, which, again, is the last team in the NFC South that we have not covered yet. They finished last year 11-5.
They have Tack McKinley. I worked my whole life for this, Josh. For this lady right here. Picture of Mrs. Ferguson down the street.
So they finished 11-5. That is a very good picture, Justin. I like that.
Yeah.
Winning percentage was .688. Home record of 5-3, road record of 6-2, and again, like we alluded to last episode about Tampa Bay, was the division record, which was 5-1. When you are 5-1 in the division, you are most likely going to be winning your division.
We're going to be 10-0 this year, Josh. 10-0. I'm Tack McKinley. We'll make the division my bitch. Find me later, Josh.
Going to be 10-0 in the division.
10-0. My bitch. Find me.
They were 9-3 in the conference, and again, one other thing that we did talk about was their points for, 540 points for last year, 406 points against, 130.
Points against this year going to be zero, Josh. I'm Tack McKinley. I'm going to stop all this shit. Find me later.
134 points difference. Yeah. So that's you got it out of your system?
I'm not done. I worked my whole fucking life for this, Josh.
Oh, my God. All right,
I'm a killer.
Let's talk about some of the acquisitions and some of the guys that they released during this offseason. And if you keep doing that throughout this episode, I'm probably going to lose my freaking mind. So
try me, bitch.
I'm gonna lose it. I'm going to.
Who they release? Huh? Who we release, Josh?
One guy that
a bunch of people who's scared because Tack McKinley's on the team. You be killing fools in the weight room, in the practice field, on the NFL gridiron.
One guy that left is one Eric Weems, wide receiver / return man, and he went to Tennessee. We have Aldrick Robinson. He ends up leaving, going to San Francisco, following his former offensive coordinator, 2-year deal. Patrick DeMarco, he ends up going to Buffalo, 4-year deal, and I think that may be a bigger loss than what they were thinking, so... I like Patrick DeMarco. He's one of the true fullbacks. He can catch the ball in the backfield, do a little bit of everything. Some of the guys that they acquired in this offseason are going to be, let's talk about Andre Roberts. He came over from the Detroit Lions, 1-year deal. You got something else to say? You're going to cut me off? De'Andre Poe, defensive tackle from Kansas City. Jack Crawford, defensive end coming over
Who?
From Dallas.
Who?
And then
You got nothing on me? You don't got nothing on Tack McKinley?
They re-signed their tight end, Levine, God, I hate you. I don't even know how to say his last name. Toriolo, I think is how you say it, so.
Doesn't matter how you say his name, Josh. One name you need to know how to say, Tack McKinley. That's it.
3-year deal on that. So, I'm going to leave it at that. What do you guys have to talk about their offseason? I'm going to punch him in the face.
Eric Weems, he'd probably be the number one for the Bears right now. Really, it's not a big loss for the Falcons. I really don't remember anything you said because Tim's been an idiot, or Tack's been an idiot on the show so far. But
besides, Tack just needs Dion here to give him a hug, tell him to show some class, and then it could be done. Josh doesn't want to do that. That's fine. That's on him.
I really think the biggest loss for the Falcons, though, is going to be Shanahan going to San Francisco. We saw that offense last year. One of the best offenses we've seen play the game of football. That they could score on anyone. No one could really hold them down. Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan kind of had that bond going. Those running backs love the system. So we're going to see how the new, what is it, Sarkisian, the new OC. Yeah,
Steve's got
we will see how much of an effect he will have on that whole offense, because that was their strength last season.
Justin, you're an owner of both Coleman and Freeman. With the loss of DeMarco, are you worried at all about their fantasy or even just their rushing in general with the Atlanta Falcons?
No. Not at all, no. I mean, look at these two running backs. They both finished, what, within top 30, I think it was? 35?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I have no...
Say it like you mean it, Justin.
Yeah. I have no problem with my running backs.
I like the fire. I like the fire a lot. I agree with Tom completely. Listen, the guys that they lost, pretty much nobody's. You know, Eric Weems, if your biggest loss is Eric Weems, who cares?
Former Chicago Bears.
Kyle Shanahan loss is humongous. That cannot be understated. But lucky for him is he's got a guy in Matt Ryan who's going to run that offense himself. It doesn't really matter who the offensive coordinator is. They have the two-headed monster at running back. The other thing that I think can't go without being understated is that defense. They had three starters, I believe, that were rookies on that defensive side of the football last year. They add a guy, you may have heard of him, named Tack McKinley in the draft. And I think it's going to be much, much better. That defense matured a lot outside of the Super Bowl towards the end of the year last year. And I really think that they have another good chance to make it back again this year.
Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman actually finished top 20 each, top 17 Woo! Actually. But
it's impressive.
I want to say I'm a little worried just for the fact that DeMarco is gone, and you know we'll see how it goes from there. But Tevin Coleman was more or less a receiving option out of the backfield. Freeman can catch the ball out of the backfield as well, but they do have some of the rushes. To speak of, so
I think this year, and I don't want to get too much into fantasy because I know we're going to talk about that more later, but I think this is one of the only times I've ever seen in a two running back system that the one guy being in a contract year benefits both guys, benefits both of their stock, because Devontae Freeman's going to be playing like he's going to get paid the big time money, and Tevin Coleman's going to be playing like he can be the guy in Atlanta when Devonta Freeman leaves.
That is very true.
Do they pay him the money, though?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so at all. No way.
Arthur Blank came out and said he's confident that they will re-sign him.
Arthur Blank probably says a lot of things, okay?
Arthur Blank is pretty awesome.
He is pretty cool. He's got quality dance moves.
He does.
Pretty similar to Tack McKinley as character. Kind of born in the same environment.
Yeah,
both got that same demeanor about him, you know?
I can see that.
All right, so let's move on to some of the additions that they made through the 2017 NFL Draft.
Tack McKinley, that's the only name you got to know.
What a season for the Atlanta Falcons last season. So close to bringing that Lombardi trophy to Hotlanta.
Hold on, I got to add real quick. So did you guys see what the New England Patriots did for their last form of shade that they threw at the Atlanta Falcons? So obviously the big thing, the halftime score was 28-3, right? That was the number.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many diamonds the New England Patriots Super Bowl ring has? That is like the biggest. Oh my, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Sorry, yeah.
The Falcons should have won the Super Bowl. In all honesty, they had some pretty horrific play calling and a non-existent pass rush in the fourth quarter. They blew a big-time lead and could not stop one of the GOATs of this game, Tom Brady. The Falcons have Vic Beasley, but they needed another pass rusher to pair up with him. and to get that pass rush going and to be able to provide that nonstop pressure. And they drafted edge rusher Tack McKinley from UCLA.
Who?
Tack McKinley. You know, he's a high effort, relentless pass rusher who fits the Falcons scheme. He's still pretty raw and at the game of football, but he has a lot of the traits that you're looking for in that pass rusher. Very violent hands, very good athlete. Doesn't have the greatest bend, but was still a 10 sack guy last year at UCLA. And on draft day, like Tim has shown, this dude has a lot of emotion. You could tell that this guy loves the game of football and the type of person that Tack is and what he's going to bring to this Atlanta Falcons defense. You have to love that. Great pick for the Falcons.
I'm going
to
jump in here in front of everyone else because I love Tack McKinley so much. This man, not only is he a beast on the field, but he wants to honor his grandmother on draft day. Does he bring a little, you know, 10x10 photo or a little 8x10 photo of his grandmother in a nice frame and talk about how much of a sweet lady she is? No, he does not. He brings a full-on, full-body portrait hand-painted by some famous artist and goes on a rant of all rants, swearing. He made Deion Sanders uncomfortable on stage. That never happens. It was fantastic. And he basically already told the commissioner to go fuck himself and fine him later. It's perfect. Tack McKinley, you are my hero. Justin, our producer and our Chinese jersey man, buy me a Tack McKinley jersey.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say after that. Tack McKinley is going to be an extra added weapon on that defensive front seven, and it's gonna be nice to see because, again, like you said, they didn't have that pass rush in the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl. This is a guy that can give them that pass rush that they so desperately need, and you're gonna pair him up with some of the other greats that this Atlanta Falcons defense already has. It's gonna be a great looking defense with this addition.
The NFL, it's a copycat league right now. Right now, finding that undersized linebacker who can run sideline to sideline cover and make tackles, it's pretty popular. Falcons struck gold last season when they drafted linebacker from LSU, Deion Jones, and they doubled down this year and selected another undersized linebacker from LSU and Duke Riley. Only 6 foot, 232 pounds, but he's pretty similar to Jones as a player. Very athletic and fast, plays with good instinct, and his speed that he ran at the combine shows the type of athlete he is, and it really showed out on film. He struggles when he gets hands on him. When the O-line gets that second level and puts hands on him, he's not good at disengaging, but he's going to need to hit the weight room. But I like this pick, the good value in the third round with this guy, and it gives that defense just another guy who could run around and make tackles who's extremely fast out there.
Yeah, this could be a another one of those hidden gems that they get. But again, like you said, he is undersized. We may see him play more special teams more than not. I think that's where we will see him the most, special teams and then sub packages on that defensive front seven. But one little known fact about him, did you know what his brother's name is? Cooter. Just let you know. Cooter, how can you not like a guy
Cooter
like that?
Cooter Riley?
Cooter Riley.
Oh.
Very interesting, right? Nice. Yeah, he's just a sub-package guy, and he's going to be playing special teams, but he's a guy that, you know, he played all 4 years. He was a starter every single game his last year as he was a senior, invited to the Senior Bowl. There was talk about how he wasn't going to be invited, so luckily he was, and got to show what, you know, he has. So I'm very excited to see what he can do, but chances are we'll see him a lot on special teams, and then we'll see where he goes from there.
I was okay with the pick. I actually liked the guy that went next to the New Orleans Saints, Alex Anzalone, out of Florida, and has some injury problems here in his past, but with where the Atlanta Falcons are in their defense, they could have potentially struck gold with that guy. That's a guy that the Saints are probably going to love the fact that they picked up. It could be a 10-year starter on their team if he can stay healthy. So I don't hate the pick. I don't love it. You know, C+, probably great.
I really thought the Falcons were going to invest a higher pick into their O-line early in this draft. They've done a great job at rebuilding the O-line via the draft and with the signing of Alex Mack last offseason. The Falcons lost a starting guard, Chris Chester. He retired this year, and that's a big-time hole at the right guard position. In the fourth round, they added Oregon State guard Sean Harlow. He played primarily tackle in college, but short arms will limit him to playing interior in the NFL. But he shows very good strength and power and the ability to move big defenders. Keeping Matt Ryan upright is extremely important. He was hit 105 times last season. Not something you really expect. I was kind of shocked at those numbers since their offense was so prolific. But they need to get better at keeping Matt Ryan upright. He's over the age of 30 now. He's getting up there in age, and he'll be more prone to injuries. But I like Harlow, kind of an underrated guard in this class, but overall solid prospect.
This is another guy that played tackle in college, like you said, and now he's coming in, moving to guard, which is what a lot of these tackles are doing. They look undersized. They got short arms. It sounds like a lot of these tackles have these same attributes or physical limitations in a sense. And Harlow, you know, where do you play? USC, I believe,
Oregon
right?
Oregon State.
I'm sorry. Or no, that was where his dad played. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, him coming over here to this team, they need offensive line help. Him sliding over to guard, it just makes a lot of sense. He's undersized, arms wise, and physical traits. It just makes sense for that. They needed that offensive line help.
I listen. Who knows how he's gonna pan out? You know, coming from a decent school, he gives the Falcons the ability to protect Matt Ryan more going into the prime years of his career to win a Super Bowl. It's a no-brainer pick. Kudos to the Atlanta Falcons.
The best value pick for the Atlanta Falcons came in the fifth round when they drafted cornerback DeMonte Casey from San Diego State University. He's a smaller cornerback, most likely going to be playing in the inside, playing that nickel role for the Falcons. At San Diego State, he had 17 interceptions. Kid's a ball hawk. He finds his way around the football, and he finds a way to make an impact. And getting a kid like that, it's a trait that doesn't come around too often. And you're getting a kid like that in the fifth round. They have done a good job in the past at developing cornerbacks in the later rounds. Just look at Robert Alford, who made that awesome pick six in the Super Bowl. So you got to trust the coaching staff in Atlanta. This is a steal of a pick for them. Casey will be getting playing time this year, and I absolutely love this pick. A plus for this pick.
Yeah, we'll be seeing him a lot in the corner, or the nickel corner spot. And just with the amount of interceptions he had in college, I think it'll translate well to the NFL game.
I like the pick, not as much as you, Tom, but I did like the pick. It was either him in my eyes or Jamal Agnew, who went to the Lions later on from San Diego, my two best available guys on the board. And again, continue to grow. It seems like, you never know what will happen this year, but it seems like they struck gold with those three guys who started for them last year. See how they progress this year and keep adding pieces. It seems, they at least have a draft plan, which a lot of NFL teams cannot say.
The Atlanta Falcons might have the best overall running back group in the NFL. Look, they got Freeman, Coleman, two studs in fantasy. Both these guys are top 20 running backs. And in the fifth, they added another talented running back to that group, Brian Hill from Wyoming. Might be that short yardage runner right away for the Falcons. He showed success at Wyoming doing that for the Cowboys. Versatile kid, though. Possibly the replacement eventually to either Freeman or Coleman when one of them leaves. I don't think it's possible that they're going to sign both of these guys back to new contracts.
Yeah, I did some research on this guy, Brian Hill, out of Wyoming. And I like what he brings to the table. But when I did watch his tape, he ran a lot out of the shotgun, wasn't with a lead fullback. And that's kind of what Atlanta does, but maybe they're not going to do it now with DeMarco gone. So maybe he fits that offense a little bit better, but they also have Terran Ward as well. And if you guys remember Terran Ward, he didn't play a lot last year, but he's a serviceable running back as well. But I do like Brian Hill, but if he's on the team, special teams to start out, we'll see where he goes from there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the kid. I think that they really are hoping that I know Justin asked earlier. I don't see any way that they end up paying.
Freeman.
Thank you, Devonta Freeman.
How could you forget the man's name? Freeman.
I forget a lot of things, Justin.
Top five running back.
Particularly last year. Particularly because why you're here, because I'm here today, so I don't understand.
Just backing up just in case if anything happens to you and your family.
I appreciate that. So we'll see. I don't see. I'm assuming one Arthur Blank was not fond of the way that Freeman's agent came out prior to the Super Bowl last year to start saying how he deserved big money. It rubbed me the wrong way, and I have no feelings about the Atlanta Falcons whatsoever. If I'm Arthur Blank or a fan, I hope the guy fails personally, and I hope Tevin Coleman steps up and becomes the guy.
Jeez, Tim.
You're just a negative person.
That's not negative. Come on.
Anything else? We got one more guy.
One more pick. I might butcher his name. In the fifth round, they added another tight end, Eric Saubert from Drake.
It's not that hard to say.
Saubert, is that right?
Yeah, Saubert's right.
All
right.
He's a pass-catching threat. I really haven't watched much tape of him. There's not much tape of Drake football going around the internet.
Unless he's French. Is it Eric Saubert?
That might be it.
That may be it.
Everything I've read, though, is extremely bad at blocking. Not even close to being ready to be a blocking or reliable blocking tight end in the league. That he's just going to primarily be used as a receiving tight end. But they're pretty deep at the position, the tight end position the Falcons are. And they've invested early picks in the tight end position spot right now. So this is a total upside pick. He'll probably come in and compete as the tight end 3 for the Falcons.
Yeah, you can do everything you want except for catch and block. So, moving on.
Do you know where he's from?
No, I have no idea.
France, I just told you.
No, Chicago. Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Justin.
He's going to get cut anyway. But.
Yeah, you know, prior to being drafted, he was one of the guys driving the ice cream truck that crashed into my goddamn...
the goddamn sherbet.
Yeah.
Let's move on to some of the fantasy aspects. Oh, let's rate this draft. Where did you guys have this draft at?
I gave it a B+.
Jesus.
I gave it a B+. Listen, it was no one that, you know, no extreme, like, immediate playmaker, you know, no big names on there, but they addressed all of their needs, and none of them were stupid picks, in my opinion. All of them, I at least saw some value. They're trying to fill holes. They're trying to continue to grow. I'm okay with it.
I just can't give them that good of a grade. Right now, I believe we've covered, this will be our 24th team that we have covered.
Yep.
And I could probably think off the top of my head 14 or 15 other drafts I like more than this one. I don't think they had a bad draft, but I'm going to give them a solid C. And remember, C's get degrees, so that's fine.
Yeah, I was – Jesus. Yeah, I was right on par with that as a C as well. I mean, as much as I like Tack McKinley, you cannot take one player and that outweighs
any draft
the rest
I'm
of the
in,
draft.
A+.
So that's all I say. Justin, anything?
No, I mean, the highlight, Tack. I mean – other guys.
Goddamn right.
They just filled positions. It wasn't really any, you know, it wasn't Tampa Bay drafting wise.
There we go.
It wasn't on the same level as the Colts.
Yeah, both those teams, Fs.
All right, let's move on to the fantasy football aspect, and we are going to be led off with none other than the idiot Tim.
Oh, thanks, Josh. Thank you so much. Let's go and start with the one and only Matty Ice, Matt Ryan. Went and had himself a big old year last year, just shy of 5,000 yards. Had himself 38 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, even rushed for over 100 yards. I'm proud of him. And what can you say? He was the second ranked quarterback last year behind Aaron Rodgers. So to me, I think he stays the course. Everyone right now, and we've done it, and I was thinking about it on my way here today to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Everyone says, oh, well, no Kyle Shanahan. No. And then we talk about how the Falcons blew the Super Bowl. Well, you can't have it both ways. We can't say, oh, Kyle Shanahan's a god, and now Matt Ryan's going to suffer, but the moron doesn't know to run the fucking football when you're up 28-3 at halftime against one of the most prolific quarterbacks in football history. So I don't know. I think Matt Ryan will be just fine. I see him going out there and having another huge year. Interceptions might go up a little bit because teams are going to game plan for him probably much, much better. But still around the 5,000-yard mark and still between the 35-40 touchdowns.
Yeah, for me, look, the year that Matt Ryan had last year was his career year. I don't think he's ever going to have better numbers than he had last year. The 7 interceptions, career low. He's normally that 12 to 17, 18 type of numbers. Normally around that 4,500 yards and normally in the mid-20s for touchdowns. And he had 38 touchdowns last year, close to 5,000 yards, and under 10 interceptions for the second time in his career. He's getting older. I think we have a clear picture of what Matt Ryan really is as a quarterback. I think they had a lucky year last year. I think the Falcons are going to struggle next year. And I think people are overdrafting Matt Ryan.
Wow.
He is outside my top 8 as a quarterback right now.
State dinner bet right now.
What, outside the top 8?
Yeah. You take outside, I take inside.
I'll take it.
Done.
Wow. Who wants to write that down?
Tom? Maybe producer Justin?
Got it.
Justin, what do you think about Matt Ryan this year?
Outside the top 8? Is that where you're going with, Tom? I'm hard-pressed to believe that. I mean, look at what he put up with two great running backs. You got Julio Jones. Even he made Taylor Gabriel look even relevant at all. I mean, God.
And Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, fuck. Yes. Mohamed Sanu.
But, I mean, Justin does make
Sign
a good point.
Sign onto a 5-year deal. What the fuck is that?
Justin does make a good point. Two really good running backs on this team. How can Matt Ryan put up those numbers again?
My main argument with this is we've seen a lot of quarterbacks who haven't been elite their whole or majority of their career. Most of the, like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, those guys are pretty much elite every year they play. And we got guys like the Cam Newtons. He had that amazing year in 2016. He finished quarterback 16. Matt Ryan, has he ever finished top 2 before? No. It's kind of that, just that one-year wonder. That's how I'm viewing this as. He's never been a top 3 quarterback before. I don't think he's been a top 4 quarterback before. He's been an average NFL quarterback, an average NFL fantasy quarterback, and he got lucky last year.
Well, who's going to take his spot, though? Do you think it's going to be Jameis?
I could see Jameis. I could see Jameis going up there. I could see Carr's numbers going up. See Mariota's numbers going up.
Tom Brady with a full year.
Yeah, Tom Brady with the full year. Andrew Luck missed a game last year and finished 4th. So I could see him passing up Matt Ryan. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
All right. Well, let's move on to you want to move on to running back, Tim?
Yeah, I will. And then I'll prove Tom wrong when we get to the scheduling.
All right.
Because he obviously has not looked at the Atlanta Falcons schedule. So let's go to the running back. Obviously, Justin's favorite topic, the two-headed monster that is Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Can't wait to hear Tom and Josh going to tell me how it's actually a three-headed monster because Darren Ward is Jesus Christ. But I digress. Devonta Freeman in a contract year. Tevin Coleman, obviously a fantastic year receiving, along with, you know, he's not, you know, only a receiving running back. He had 8 rushing touchdowns last year, 2 Devonta Freeman's, 11 on 118 attempts. He had 520 yards. I guess the biggest fear for me for a Tevin Coleman owner is his size and can he stay healthy. He had, I believe, concussion problems, hasn't he, in his first 2 years in the league? Pretty sure that's the case with one Tevin Coleman. So what do you see out of him? And then Devonta Freeman, it's you know, boom or bust for him, in my opinion. His agent came out there, and I talked about it earlier, put him on the spot. If you're going to go out there the week leading up to the Super Bowl and start talking about contract then, I truly believe shame on you, and you better really put up some numbers. Devonta Freeman had 230 points last year. Tevin Coleman had 160. Is that Tevin Coleman overachieving, or is it Devonta Freeman just really going to have to continue to split time with Tevin Coleman? That's what I believe it will be, that kind of change of pace, thunder and lightning, It worked out great for them. I actually expect Tevin Coleman's numbers to increase on the receiving end a little bit this year and decrease on the rushing side.
All right. You want me to go?
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk a little bit. I like Devonta Freeman regardless. Coleman is a very, very good running back. Don't get me wrong. But he does have, as Tim alluded to, the concussion thing. But he also had the, what is it, sickle cell thing that he's got going on as well. That's the other issue that he had. And that was the issue where he was possibly not going to play in the Denver game. And we saw what he did in that Denver game. He had 6 rushes, 31 yards. And then, more importantly, 4 receptions for 132 yards and a touchdown. The one thing with Tevin Coleman is that this guy can rip off a play for any amount of yards at any point in time in a game. The guy is really quick, really fast, and can take the ball to the end zone. The only thing with the 8 rushes, Tim, that you alluded to was he had 3 rushing touchdowns in the Week 3 contest. Take that out. That's a big chunk of his point total in the year.
Well, still, as being a quote-unquote backup running back, having 5 rushing touchdowns, I mean,
correct.
The way you guys made it seem, I mean, that's still 6 games with a rushing touchdown for your backup running back. He's not just the pass-catching back.
No, I agree. He also missed 3 games in the middle of the season, too. But he did have, 5 games under 10 points. And theoretically, when you look at it, he finishes running back 17. That's good enough for a running back 2. Me, personally, I don't know if I would want to rely on that as a running back 2 overall.
I want to play devil's advocate a little bit more. I'm not going to continue to cut you guys off. But you mentioned the games he had under. As a backup running back, he had 8 games at 10 points or more, which I think should be applauded big time. And he was the 17th ranked running back, only 11 spots behind Devonta Freeman, who was 6 and missed those 3 games. So you have to really look at his full body of work. Whatever sickle cell, whatever that is, sickle cell anemia.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that he got that straightened out because he came back. He 3 of those 6 games that he came back over 10 points as well, with the Super Bowl week scoring 19.5 points. I like the guy.
Yeah, I think you have to be pretty confident with both of these guys. The only thing I'm worried about is we really don't know how this offense is going to run without Kyle Shanahan there. When Kyle Shanahan was with the Falcons, he showed that his offense could support 2 running backs in a fantasy situation. Steve Sarkisian is there. We don't know if Freeman's going to get re-signed. If they're not planning on re-signing Freeman, I could see them trying to run him into the ground like the Dallas Cowboys did with DeMarco Murray. They had no plan to re-sign him to a long-term deal. Gave him close to 400 touches, and it pretty much ruined his next year because that's what happens with running backs. I still see Tevin Coleman getting a good amount of receptions. I could see his rushing totals being down, but what makes him viable in PPR is his receptions. This dude had under 150 total touches last year and 11 touchdowns. It's kind of unreal and reminds me of that David Johnson territory that he had his rookie year, where he was at around 150, 160 total touches and had double-digit touchdowns. Tevin Coleman's a freak. But Freeman has been wonderful in that system as well.
Justin, I will bring it up to you since you do own both, and Tom just brought it up. Devonta Freeman, 227 rushing attempts last year. Tom talks about teams liking to, you know, the final year that they plan on having a guy on their team, run them into the ground. Do you see that happening with the Devonta Freeman over or under 300 touches?
Drive that man into the ground. You have nothing. He's not signed onto anything else. You don't know if he is going to sign. You know, his agent, they're looking for the money. I don't even know where he would even go afterwards, but that's not their problem. They don't care. Give Tevin the opportunity. I think he has all the necessary attributes to be a starting running back in this NFL.
100% right, Justin.
All right, Josh, you got anything to add?
No, that's just I see it both ways. You know, you want to protect your assets with, you know, Devonta Freeman if you're going to re-sign him to a long-term deal. I get that. And I get what Tom and Justin say, where they say, you know, run him into the ground It doesn't matter. Use him and abuse him, and then you have your replacement in Tevin Coleman. My only thing is Tevin Coleman has not been the healthiest of running backs, and he has shown great promise over and over again for the last couple years, but can he stay completely healthy? And if he doesn't, are you comfortable enough with a Terran Ward or a Hill to be your next Tevin Coleman and possibly be that replacement?
We will definitely have to wait to see what happens. You said it best, and it's the same term that the ladies used with you, Josh. Use them and abuse them. We'll see what happens in 2017. Let's move on here to the wide receivers. You have pretty much a one-man show and then a bunch of guys. You have Julio Jones coming off another fantastic season, 1,400 yards and a little bit more, and 6 touchdowns, a little bit low on the touchdown aspect, but still the number 6th ranked wide receiver in fantasy. After that, you have Taylor Gabriel, Mohamed Sanu. You can even talk about a Justin Hardy or Andre Roberts if you would want to, but I don't. Let's just talk about here first. We'll talk about Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu a little bit more. Julio Jones, what is the earliest number you would pick him at if you were in the draft and he was still there? Is it 5? Is it 6? Is it 7? What is the earliest number? Go, Justin.
That was unexpected. I would take Julio. If I had the choice, I go running back, running back, running back. I go, yeah, 4 or 5.
4 or 5? Okay, yeah. And obviously this is without knowing who is, you're thinking the 3 running backs, monsters are first, and then and pretty much at 4 or after is when you're able to start thinking about one Julio Jones. Tom?
He would be number 6 for me. It's the 3 running backs, and Antonio Brown, Jordy, then Julio. That's how it is for me.
All right, Jordy, yeah.
Yeah, I love Jordy.
Yeah, Jordy with the PPR aspect, I agree with Tom as well, but I think a lot of people are still sitting a little bit low on Odell Beckham, even though that they have added a lot of weapons. And I still think Mike Evans is still going to have a decent year. I'm not a believer in Julio Jones. I think he's just too injury prone. And regardless, he missed 2 games last year, and he still finished wide receiver 6. Very good finish. And if he would have finished out the rest of the season, chances are he might have been wide receiver 1.
Yeah, Julio's fantastic. Just look at the numbers this guy has been able to put up. But you also have to look that he's only played 16 games twice in his career. He's only scored double-digit touchdowns once in his career. And he's getting up there in age. He'll be 28 this year. It's not super old by any means, but he has been known for missing games. And like last year, he had that 300-yard game last year, didn't he? He has a lot of chunk games where he just makes tons of fantasy points, but he also has weeks where his ankles, his hamstrings are messing with him, and he'll be held under 10 points in fantasy. He's pretty hit or miss. This guy, he can win you a fantasy championship. You just got to pray he is not missing those games or isn't banged up come fantasy playoff time.
Taylor Gabriel, Justin Hardy, Andre Roberts, all those guys combined had less yards than one Julio Jones. So just something to think about there. Josh, you have anything else to add?
No.
All right. Let's talk about Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu. You know, Gabriel had a breakout year, 579 yards and 6 touchdowns behind one Julio Jones. Is a successful year, and Mohamed Sanu, 653 with 4 touchdowns. And Justin Hardy himself had 4 touchdowns as well. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about Justin Hardy, but let's throw him into the mix. Out of those 3 guys, any of them that you want on your team, are any of them, let's just call a spade here, are any of them wide receiver 3 options? Or flex options?
I won't be looking at any of these guys as wide receiver 3 or flex. Sanu or Gabriel, maybe look at them in the 14th or 15th round if you need a wide receiver like 5 or 6. That's how I'm looking at these guys.
Yeah, I feel like Mohamed Sanu is the de facto number 2 wide receiver on the team. I know they like to get Gabriel more involved, But I just think that Mohamed Sanu holds more fantasy value overall than Taylor Gabriel. But I could see it either way. Gabriel gets the big chunk plays and he scored more touchdowns than Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu is more of your possession wide receiver, as you can tell by the 59 catches that he had for only under 700 yards.
Justin, anything to add? All right, good talk. Let's move on to their tight ends here.
I do like Taylor Gabriel. I do like him.
All right.
But, yeah, fuck you, Tim.
Let's talk about the Falcons tight end here. Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez isn't on the team anymore.
Good one, Tim.
Obviously, Austin Hooper is the guy to watch, to say. I mean, is this a breakout year for him? There was a lot of talk about him going into the season last year, mostly by me. Pretty, for the most part, underwhelming. Josh's dial-up is not working here right now in the Pony Cake Studios for me, so I don't have the numbers right in front of me.
He had over 200 yards receiving, and nice. I believe 20-something catches, 26 catches, 19 catches, I'm sorry.
Nothing great. Sorry.
Yeah, 271 yards, 19 catches, 3 touchdowns. I'm just pulling it off the top of my head.
But if you add up the top 3 tight ends for the Falcons, that's close to 60 receptions, over 700 yards and 8 touchdowns. So if Hooper could get all those 3 together, he'd be a number one tight end. So
is Jacob Tammy still on the team?
Yes.
I think so, right? Yeah, and then Le'Veon Toilolo?
He's still on the team, yep.
All right, so they have 3 tight ends again going into this year. And like you said, I mean, 2 other guys caught touchdowns as well, Joshua Perkins and DJ Tialavia. I mean, 8 touchdowns for, or no, I'm sorry, 10 touchdowns from tight ends last year. So it's there if Austin Hooper wants to go out and grab it. Is there any chance whatsoever that you consider one Austin Hooper?
Tim, just to let you know, Jacob Tammy is not on.
No? Did he retire?
Fuck if I know.
Thanks for that. So, I mean, obviously, so that's 22 receptions, 210 yards, and 3 touchdowns, up for grabs.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I feel like if a lot of people are reaching on Austin Hooper to be your starting fantasy football tight end in 2017, I feel like you're going to be a little bit hard-pressed. I'd rather rely on a Jack Doyle in Indy. I guess it's more of a toss-up with those two, but Jack Doyle, at least he's proven he's a favorite target of one Andrew Luck. I don't know. That's just the way I feel.
So I want. Oh, go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Doyle's on a better team as well.
I want to ask you guys, because we've talked at length here over the last few weeks about tight ends, about, you know, how you have your kind of 3 to 4 big names, and then it's a huge drop off for guys who potentially could still be top 5. Do you think that if we do not see the progression of younger tight ends and start seeing the decline of these older veteran tight ends, that the tight end position starts becoming more of a flyer wire pick because of how it really is just a crapshoot? And you could have a Kyle Rudolph go out and be the guy.
Yeah, it's tough because I've played that rotisserie tight end before. And it's frustrating from weeks to weeks because you have a Jack Doyle. He produces 2 weeks in a row, and then he gets one catch 1 week, one catch the next, and then you're like, you know what, I'm going to go to a Cameron Brait. And Cameron Brait had a great year, but there were weeks where he had one catch or no catches or, you know, whatever. And then you're like, you know what, I got to go one more. And then it's just it gets frustrating when you play week to week to week with fantasy tight ends that don't have a name, not established, and it just gets frustrating.
I guess the only I think about, okay, so after the guys, right, you're looking at tight end realistically then maybe somewhere between rounds 5 and 7, let's call it, right? I mean, that's when you're looking at the Tyler Eiferts of the world. You're looking at the
Greg Olsen.
Well, Greg Olsen would probably be a little bit before that, I would think. People are a little bit higher on him. But, you know, you have those mid-range tight ends who get injured, who have, you know, just as many bad games. The Kyle Rudolphs of the world, he's going somewhere between 5 and 7 right now because he was the third-ranked tight end last year. You have these guys who are being drafted, you know, rather than waiting to the 11th round, 12th round, and getting an Eric Ebron or getting a, you know, some of these other guys. I don't know. I'm very, very interested to see where the tight end position goes in terms of fantasy value, because after the Gronkowskis, the Kelseys, the Olsons of the world, there's a big, 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 big drop-off. So I'm interested to see where it goes. If you're lucky, Josh, I'll write you an article for PonyKickSports.com.
Thank you.
Free plug for you, sweetheart.
Appreciate it. Anything else fantasy aspect-wise? No,
I'm not going to talk defense because I just talked way too much about three fucking tight ends who scored around 40 points. So
let's talk about where we think the Falcons are going to end up on the year. Tim, I also want your thoughts on Tampa Bay, where they're going to end up on the year, because you missed the last episode. And I want, again, like we did last time, I want to know your fantasy your fantasy
bold predictions.
Bold prediction, and I want your NFL bold prediction for the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm not going first. You just gave me a whole other fucking team to look up, you asshole.
So. All right, for the Falcons record, I am seeing a little Super Bowl hangover. It happens quite often. I don't think the Patriots are going to have a Super Bowl hangover, so it has to be the Falcons. They will be going 8-8 this year. This will be an extremely tight race in the NFC South. It's a very close division, but I've seen a lot of teams in this division improve dramatically.
Justin, where do you have them finishing this year? Think about it.
It's hard. We've talked about this for the Tampa Bay. We talked about it. It's very hard.
There's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, just because Tampa is resurging. I mean, look at – and then you have – I really think losing Shanahan in the Atlanta offensive scheme, it's probably going to hurt them. So what were they last year? Were they 11, right?
11-5.
11-5, so – and you said 8-8?
Mm-hmm.
So 9-7?
I like the 9-7. I'm actually going 9-7 as well. I have Atlanta and Tampa flip-flopping this year with the records. I have Tampa with 11-5, and I have Atlanta with 9-7 as well. So that's where I'm going. I think you had Tampa at, what, 10 wins the last episode? Or 9 wins? I can't remember.
10.
But yeah, I'm flip-flopping. I'm going Atlanta, 9-7. Tampa, 11-5.
Yeah, you're a pretty big stroke. You would... do you want me to go Atlanta first, or how do you want me to do this?
Whatever you
want to
do.
It's up to you. Super Bowl hangover. Matty Ice doesn't drink, Tom. Do you know who he is? Well, apparently you don't, but you will. Listen, Atlanta's biggest benefit is their schedule. They start off against the Chicago Bears. Do you have any idea how terrible that team is? You need to look
They're
at...
They're bad.
Listen, they have some tough games this year. Yeah, Josh, fix this fucking mic. I swear to God. Jesus Christ. Keep giving me a thumbs up to speak louder. Is this loud enough for you? Jesus. They have tough games, but they have Green Bay at home. And then they have the Miami Dolphins at home. I truly do believe that they are going to be 5-0 going into their matchup against the New England Patriots week 6. Outside of that, I don't know if they have a bye in there.
Week 7.
That is week 7. Okay, so they do have their bye in there. I do. I truly believe. And outside of that, I mean, the Seahawks on the road is going to be tough. I really wanted to go 12-4. I'm not going to go that crazy. I'm going to go a mirrored 11-5. Their schedule is the easiest in this division by far. The tough games they have, like I said, the Bears at home, they'll win that. Or Bears on the road, they'll win that game by 85 points. Then they play the Packers at home. Packers, listen, Aaron Rodgers is great. Matt Ryan right now is better and has more weapons. They win that. Lions on the road. Darius Slay is good. Didn't they draft a guy named Tease Tabor? Yeah, Josh loves that. Wait till you see Matt Ryan throw for 600 yards against him. It's going to be another great year, and I can't believe we're, 45 minutes into this show, and I haven't said a great year in Hotlanta. I cannot wait. Falcons will win the South.
Where does Tampa finish?
Tampa Bay. So, Joshua, I know you have them. You said you had them at 11-5?
I do, yeah.
My goodness. So, they start the season in Miami. I don't like that. They have to go to Minnesota, which is going to be a tough place to play against a fantastic defense. Their home games are Giants, then the Patriots, and then they go across the country against the Arizona Cardinals, only to come back to the East Coast and play the Buffalo Bills. They have a pretty tough stretch there to start the year, and then they pretty much end the second half of the year, you know, against the division rivals. I have them at 9-7.
Well, I hate it, but I respect it.
You're telling me you look at those first 8 weeks and you
If you would have been here for the first show,
yesterday, made ice cream trucks crash.
Let's talk about Tom. Let's go to you. I want your fantasy bold prediction of the year.
My fantasy bold prediction: Matt Ryan will throw for 4,400 yards, 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. We'll finish at quarterback number 10. If you guys do not know his stats last year, it's 500 yards off his yardage mark, 10 touchdown decrease, and his interceptions will double. So it's not the greatest year for Matt Ryan, but his numbers go back to what he has been his whole career.
Hey, Tom, I can't. Do the Chicago Bears have a good defensive secondary or no?
No, it's not good at all.
Oh, okay, so Matt Ryan will throw 8 touchdowns against them. What about the Green Bay Packers? Do they have a great secondary? They have maybe a good secondary.
There's not many great secondaries in the NFL.
I asked a simple question. I didn't. Objection. Okay, I didn't ask you for your opinion. Do they have a great secondary?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's not
next true. Up, Justin, your Atlanta Falcons fantasy bold prediction.
Devonta Freeman will finish top 3 running backs. No, that's utterly ridiculous. That would never happen. We have the set 3 running backs. It will, and there's no way it won't go Bell, Johnson, and Zeke. Not in that order.
Zeke should be number 1.
Yeah, see, not in that order.
So what's your bold prediction?
What's your prediction?
So I'm going to say Freeman finishes top 4. Because there's no
so
way.
So he's right like outside it. The top 4.
My prediction tells Justin to go pound sand. Devonta Freeman is going to take a huge step back. Tevin Coleman will be the number 1 running back fantasy-wise in Atlanta in the 2017 season, finishing in the top 10.
Wow. Julio Jones, I'm going to do outside of the top 8. It's not a really bold prediction, but it's semi-bold considering he is considered a top 4 wideout pre-draft. So I'm going to double that up and go Julio Jones outside the top 8.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What was the other question you asked?
The other one was just your bold prediction for the Atlanta Falcons in general, but Tom kind of answered his with...
I got another one.
Oh, all right. Let's do it.
Falcons finish tied for last in the NFC South.
Okay.
It's at 8-8, but it's a tough division. I like the division overall.
I feel like Neil Diamond holding the mic like this. Josh, I yelled at you earlier, man. You okay?
It's all right.
No, I hate that. I hate that prediction, Tom. I don't like it at all.
Anybody else bold prediction?
I mean,
way to go on a limb, Tim.
I'm going to say...
How is mine not on a limb?
I'm going to say the Atlanta Falcons draft a wide receiver first round next year. I don't know why. That's just what I feel.
Calvin Ridley. Pair him up with another Bama prospect. Well, not prospect, but player, Julio Jones.
I like that.
That'd be actually that new Roddy White to Julio. That would be the Julio to Calvin Ridley. I like that.
I'd like that as well. I don't necessarily see it happening because they're going to be so far down in the draft. He's not going to be there, but... I like the idea of that they trade up.
All right, anybody else?
Nope.
Hey, if Freeman he doesn't resign this year, where would he? Where's
is that your bold prediction? Place? He doesn't resign.
He does not resign.
Oh, Justin, putting the stamp on it. Yeah, Broncos maybe. I don't know.
The Colts.
Do you think he'll go to Seattle with the other 8 or 9?
He will go.
To get there?
Bold prediction. After this season, Devonta Freeman signs with the Detroit Lions.
It makes sense.
It makes sense. I like that. I like the Lions. I like the Colts. And I
and
like
the Bears. Oh, my.
Hopefully the Bears, because it would make no sense, and they'd spend $10 million
and
to bring him in.
I like the Broncos. I think that makes sense, too.
I would give that bitch $20 million a year. Not 10.
All right. Anything else, guys? We done?
We done.
What's the Atlanta Falcons sound you got here?
All right, that's done. We're done, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. That is our Atlanta Falcons episode for you.
Jack McKinley!
You gotta stop. I'm gonna lose my mind. That is finally the last episode of the NFC South. And I'm gonna
Ted McKinley.
I'm gonna punch you. I swear to God, I'm gonna do it. For us, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Kick Sports, at Pony Kick Tom, at Pony Kick Tim. Hit us up on our Facebook. Go to our website, PonyKickSports.com. Check out our buddies' websites, CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They got a bunch of good articles, a bunch of other stuff, Tim.
And they have the Bird Watchers Championship coming up next Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. on the East.
Make sure you turn the sound up for that one. Thanks a lot. Hope you guys enjoy.